Yep.
Hey, I am going to call to order the Wednesday, March 8th, 2023 regular Board of Directors meeting. If you all stand and join me in the flag salute. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Nice. Before we have a roll call introductions, Julie Smith, Director Smith is via Zoom from 4011 14th Street, Room 1A in Riverside, California. And we have the roll call introductions.
Members present, please signify by saying aye. President Seifert?
Aye.
Vice President Lindstrom?
Here.
Director Castillo?
Aye.
Director Hicks?
Here.
And Director Smith?
Present.
Others present include General Manager Ryan Goss, Administration Manager Abby Erickson, the Airport Maintenance Crew, and myself, Board Secretary Patty Lopez. We welcome members of the public.
Okay. So number four, approval of agenda. Any changes from staff?
So I do have one change on item number five. I'd like to do a special, add a special presentation if possible. The board allows me to.
Doug, any changes to?
Nope.
Okay.
Not here.
Julie, any changes from you? On the agenda? Okay. So agenda is as with one change. So do we do a roll call on that or no? That's just, Okay, public comments. A person wishing to comment on an agenda item should come to the podium, wait for the president to recognize them unless otherwise provided for a specific item. All comments are limited to 3 minutes each with an overall total of 15 minutes. No speaker may allow their time to others. Comments on agenda items. Comments concerning matters on the agenda will be heard at the time the matter is considered. Comments on non-agenda items, comments concerning matters not on the agenda will be heard during the public comment section of the agenda. The board's comments should be within, the speaker's comments should be within the subject matter jurisdiction of the Big Bear Airport District Board. Please note that if you're addressing the board on items not on the agenda, the Brown Act does not allow board discussion of such items because they are not on the agenda and thus were not noticed publicly. Therefore, the board may only do the following: refer the matter to staff, ask for additional information or request a report back, or give a very limited factual response. Your comments may be placed on the agenda for future discussions. Any public comments at this time? Okay.
You might know who I am already.
Absolutely.
Last time I spoke, there were several questions. I had requested the plans for the hangar, but I guess there's not any available.
No.
So there's no structural calcs that we have.
That's all being handled by Director Goss.
Yeah. So.
Okay. I did have an independent survey on the hangar from a certified engineer, structural engineer. And the hangar is not safe, according to their report, which I have right here.
Okay.
But I don't think it's right for me to hand that to you guys in lieu of, you know, you might think it was somebody I hired, but it was an independent structural engineer. So I have requested with Ryan that I do not want that hangar, and I'd like to get moved to a different one. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that's going to work. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. We definitely understand.
I don't feel safe in there. You know, if that happened to me or it happened to you or whoever. And
we'd be feeling the way you feel.
Right. And so on this report, it did say it might be smart to have all of your hangars inspected. They are getting old. We know that on the last meeting I was here, you guys were talking about getting some new hangars. But it might be smart to check out what you got before you go further with that.
Sure.
I think it's safer to the public and people that are renting. As far as my insurance for the airplane so far. They say they're going to take care of it. I haven't seen anything yet.
Fingers crossed on that one.
Well, you know, it's going to end up whatever. How that's going to go. Let's see. I mean, I'm not sure if you guys have done any inspecting on the hangar as far as a structural engineer. I mean, that would be a question I'd like to have answered. Let's see. What else was there? Yeah, again, I did call Nuno to see if they had some plans for the hangar, but obviously they're not too responsive either because they probably know why I'm calling. I don't know if they know why or if I don't know when that hangar was built. And that would be another question I'd like to know when it was built, because I'm pretty sure that's relatively one of the newer ones. Because I think it was built after the X-Rose. I'm not sure.
We can talk offline.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not on the agenda, but
I understand.
With Ryan.
I mean, I've been around here a little while, yeah. So I kind of know, you know, that row of hangars was where I was. I think I was actually in that hangar originally when it was before it is now, when it had a plywood back on it for a twin to fit in there.
Right.
It fell off during the snowstorm. Kind of an interesting situation.
Really, just make an appointment with Ryan. I'm sure he can answer a lot of the questions you have.
Yeah, and I mean, and when you go around and you guys do have weather and wind, I mean, it's pretty obvious what you guys are having to do to protect doors from blowing in.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not really a pretty picture, if you ask me. There should be something done for that. And pretty much that's my comments. Okay.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Any other public comments? Hearing none. Number five is special presentations and proclamations.
So I brought the maintenance staff in today. I want to give them a round of applause for getting the airport open in the time that they did. And I fully understand that during those storms, how they felt defeated and It was not fun. I've been there. I know how they feel. These guys put their heart out there, and it was hard to get them to come in and eat food, to take a break. But the combined time between those two storms, those four guys, excluding myself, put in 330 hours of just plowing and shoveling. And so I commend these guys for their dedication to the district, to keep the airport in a place to where we could receive, you know, emergency services if needed. So I'd like to give those guys a round of applause.
You name them all for us?
So we have John Melissa, who's in the front row, who's my maintenance supervisor. On the very end over there, we have John Edgar, Hugo Madel, and we have Chris Hearn. So in the very, very back. So
guys, thank you so much. I don't know how much we really do appreciate it, because I saw ran us out of there, for God's sake. Ryan's weird though. We have no fuel left.
You know, they were methodical in their process out there. Very little damage to structures, to lights, to equipment. You know, we're always going to have damage when we're moving that kind of snow and running that type of times on the trucks. I think we probably went through 1,500 gallons of fuel during that storm. So we were, you know, with the closure, it was kind of getting a little close there, you know, just because of the road access, but they did a fantastic job. We got a ton of accolades, bunch of emails that they were surprised. Pilots were surprised that we were able to get the airport open in that amount of time. So
I was impressed, because I remember you closed the airport. We talked and you closed the airport. And the next morning I watched the plane land. I'm like, holy crap, I was going to call you. And
yeah.
Like, wait a minute. So I drove over. It's like, okay, he's good. They got it open already.
And really, one of the main reasons why I kept it closed on that Thursday was we didn't have a lot of berm clearance. We didn't have any intersections. So it gave us the opportunity to be on the runway and concentrate on moving snow and not dodging planes. So anyways. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You guys don't have to stay here.
John's like, out of here.
Spoke yet.
You guys say it? I guess not.
Don't leave him
there. I'm dedicated
to
these guys, you know?
Good excuse for leaving.
You got more snow. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Okay, number six, Civil Air Patrol. I don't believe we have any representatives.
Nope, we do not.
Number seven, Big Bear Pilots Association.
Yeah. The thing I have to report is that we're beginning to pull the elements together for this coming season with speakers and programs and things, and asking Ryan for a little help and some references there too. So we'll pull it together again.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
When is your first meeting, Jack?
June.
Okay, consent agenda, the approval, 8.1, approval of draft minutes, pages 4 to 5, 8.1, regular board meeting, 4 p.m., February 8, 2023, and 8.2, year-to-date financial reports of January 23, pages 6 through 14.
Move approval.
Second.
Okay, Director Hicks moved to accept the consent agenda as written to include regular board meeting minutes of February 8, 2023, and accept and file the year-to-date financial reports. Director Castillo seconded the motion. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Thanks, Julie.
The motion to approve the minutes of the regular board meeting of Wednesday, February 8, 2023, and to accept the year-to-date financial reports passed with all members voting aye.
Okay, number nine, pulled consent agenda items. There were none. And number 10, business matters, discussion and possible action. 10.1 is discussion of possible approval of a contract with AT&T on pages 15 through 55.
All right. As you know, last fiscal year, we discussed the possibility of AT&T renting out a portion of our cell phone tower that is up at the Green Spot location, which is behind the high school. After quite a bit of back and forth with legal counsel, with AT&T and Nigel Paxton, who's Arius Consulting, who has been facilitating the agreement. He's a professional at negotiating cell phone contract agreements. Before you, we have an agreement that is with AT&T that will allow them to piggyback off of the tower at that Verizon / American Tower owns. And there was a structure that was left behind from Sprint and Sprint Nextel that they abandoned when they left the area. So that when that happens, if anybody leaves any kind of equipment or structures, those revert back to the airport. So that allowed us to rent that structure out for increased amount of money for that. In the agreement, you'll see that they will be taking a little piece of land where there'll be a putting a concrete pad in with a CMU block wall and putting a standby generator for emergency purposes when the power goes down. So if there's any questions that you have within the agreement, we can discuss them. Legal counsel has reviewed the document in depth as well as I have. I think it's pretty fair. We're making pretty decent money. It's going great. We got I think it's around $2,200 bucks a month with a 3% increase annually. So.
Thank you. Okay, Chuck, any comments, discussion, questions?
I got my questions answered earlier.
Okay. Mary Kay.
That was a whole lot of stuff to go through. I don't know. Does everybody understand everything that was in that?
No.
Oh, come on.
It's taken. It took longer than I expected.
Oh my God! Look at all those drawings and those details.
But that's why we had.
Yes,
right. Negotiating all this stuff. That's what he does for a living. Yeah. Steve,
So it is very, I mean, I read through it. It's very comprehensive. So it looks like a good contract to me. This is something we've done in the past with Verizon, right?
Correct. Yeah. So when Verizon was the company that built the tower back in the early 2000s. And so then when Sprint Nextel came on board, they added on, because we own a pretty large chunk of land up there. So they added on a structure, basically where they keep all of the electronics for the cell phone tower equipment. And then when they decided to pull out, all of that was abandoned, basically. And so we basically took ownership of that, which is going to help AT&T facilitate the construction. They just are going to be adding on a generator. So
now it'll be just AT&T, no Verizon.
No, we will have both. So that's what both. So we're making money from Verizon because they have the whole ground lease and the tower. So Verizon's at the top of the tower with their structure, and then AT&T will be mid-level with their array and their structure. We got to about $1,900 a month, and because of how long this has taken, I asked Nigel, I said, hey, you know, this has been pretty cumbersome. What if I ask for a little bit more? And he said, it won't hurt to ask. So I did, and they bid on it. So we're at $2,200 a month. It's a 5-year term with some potential extensions, but this is it's standard rate. And the reason why AT&T wants to put a footprint in Big Bear is because of 5G. They're building a lot of infrastructure in Big Bear. They're building, of course, where we are. They have this pole that's just to the south of the airport. They're building a new tower that's going to be on Rebel Ridge there, basically mid-slope snow play area. And then they're going to be building one in town. So AT&T here will become as good as Verizon is. So.
And just a couple more questions. So I guess that Nigel's the expert. Does he represent us or does he represent them?
He represents us. Okay. Yeah.
We've used him. He's a guy we've used a lot.
Yeah. So every time we've done negotiating for cell phone towers, our old manager, Dustin Lino, reached out to him. And so he has a not to exceed like $10,000 to do this negotiation, and he earned his keep on this one because it's taken some time. So
that was my next question.
Yeah, so he works for us. Okay. You know, I understand the 30,000 foot view of cell phone tower negotiations, but this guy does it all day long. I mean, he does it all around the country. So. That's all he does.
Do we have anybody that's cooperated that's the going rate, or we just take his word for it?
So I can tell you we're making a little bit more than what the average is right now.
That's easily.
Yeah.
You can find that out.
Yep. Easy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. No, that's all I got.
Okay. Julie?
Thanks for the detailed information there, Ryan. When does our Verizon contract end? Do you recall?
I don't have that in front of me. I would have to get that, and I can look that up for you and get back with you.
Okay. Thank you. That was my question.
Thank you, Julie. Any public comments, discussion on? Okay. That being said, can I get a motion to approve the contract with AT&T?
I made the motion that we approve the new land lease contract agreement with AT&T.
And I'll second.
Go ahead, Julie.
And can I add one thing to that? Sure. Just that the board has given me the authority to execute the contract.
Yes, to execute the
contract. Yeah.
Okay. Director Castillo moved to approve and execute the contract with AT&T. Director Smith seconded the motion to approve and execute the contract with AT&T, and I will do a roll call vote. Director Seifert?
Aye.
Director Lindstrom?
Aye.
Director Castillo?
Aye.
Director Hicks?
Aye.
And Director Smith?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion to approve and extend the execution of the contract with AT&T was passed, with all members saying aye.
Okay, 10.1 is a presentation of the Big Bear Airport's emergency protocols, pages 56 through 57.
Okay, so first off, this is just for discussion purposes. There's no need for vote or anything of that matter. So Director Hicks, at the February meeting, asked if I could make a report on how the airport handles emergencies. I was brief in my descriptions because I could have gone on for days and this would have been very long. So I'll entertain any questions through the process if you have any. For the background of Big Bear Airport, we have a long history of partnerships and support with the public agencies within Big Bear. And Big Bear Airport is committed to our community through positive interactions with the community leaders and building relationships before incidents happen. And that's one of the things that I've taken a proud ownership of. When I became the airport manager, I went to every public agency, had a sit down with those managers, and we're on a first name basis. And when you're in a time of crisis, that's when it really comes together, is when you're not meeting a person for the first time. So it's really important to have those relationships already built and in place. And it is proven to be beneficial when the incident occurs and we're able to work together because of the relationships that we have built. So just a couple of brief descriptions. So the airport belongs to the MMA, which is the Mountain Mutual Aid, which is held at the Civil Air Patrol building. We're one of the founding members that kind of started this program. And it's basically all the leaders within the community, all public agencies and some private, where we meet on a quarterly basis in the winter and then every other month, where we sit down, we talk about, basically it's a round table where we discuss what we have going on within our agencies, any new items. We all have a contact list where we can call each other. We have lists of equipment in case something catastrophic happens. If we're able to loan a piece of equipment and manpower to help. And it's been very, very good collaboration between the agencies where we can all work together. If we have an emergency. And then the Civil Air Patrol is also, is our EOC, our Emergency Operations Center, if in fact we need to mobilize a group of people that need to, deal with an incident. Go ahead, Mary Kay.
Do we have a Civil Air Patrol anymore?
I believe we do have some active members. I don't think that they are very, very active. I don't think we have a lot of young group of people that are involved. I think it's more of the older leaders of the group. So,
well, it was Alan Hayes. And then who else was on that?
John Conley. And there's a few other people that I don't know their names of. So
I think that charter is still on register, but I don't think it's very active.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I haven't heard anything about Civil Air Patrol for a couple of years.
Ever since COVID,
basically. Yeah. COVID. Yeah. Yeah. The other organization that the airport belongs to is the GARTAC, which is the Government Affairs Regional Transportation Advisory Committee. So I belong to that. I was a part of that before I became the manager, but essentially, we discuss transportation. The airport, we move people. And so we have Caltrans involved, the Highway Patrol, the City of Big Bear Lake, Obernolte's office, Senator Oba, I don't know her, how you say her name. I don't want to chop it up. So yeah. Yeah. So we have these meetings monthly where we discuss what's going on in the community. I guarantee you we'll be discussing what's going on in the community in the last 14 days. It will probably be a pretty hot topic. So again, another partnership that we have within the community. I'll do the Big Bear's roles and responsibilities during aircraft incidents. So that was one of the discussions that we had. So The airport plays a very significant role in any incident that's pertaining to aircraft within Big Bear and sometimes off of the hill. We respond to that aircraft incident, no matter if it's in or on the airport or outside. So for me, since I've been on the airport, I've responded to every single airplane accident within Big Bear. And we've played some type of role. If it's been a liaison with the sheriff's department or as a incident command where we're the one taking the lead of the incident. And normally we usually will take lead on that because airplanes are our business. That's what we do. And a lot of the other agencies, they don't understand the procedures. So we get in there, we get information of the airplane, we make the proper notifications to the FAA. And normally the way it works is we'll make the notification to the FAA. They have it's called the ROC. It's the main hub where somebody's there 24 hours a day to receive incidences. They get your information, you tell them how many souls are on board, what type of damage, and then they say, we'll call you back. And they get a good number. And then we do a phone conference with the FAA, NTSB, and usually it's myself or, whoever's on scene. You sometimes, if it's John, we go through the process. I basically explain what we believe happened, what type of incident has occurred, gear up landing of that nature, airplane into the lake, how many souls on board, what type of injuries we're dealing with. And then, usually the NTSB will give me a phone number, and it's usually their cell phone number, and I will take pictures of the incident, send those to the NTSB, they review them, and then they will let us know that we can move the aircraft to and secure it to a location if it's within the airport and it's impeding traffic. Sometimes this happens off the field and they want to get the airplane secured, and we will remove the aircraft from wherever it is in Big Bear, as you know, your backyard. We went out there and we flipped the Bonanza back over on its belly and we picked it up, carried it through the neighborhood of Eagle Knoll Estates and brought it back to the airport and secured it for further investigation. So we also, if it's in the lake, we give support to MWD however we need to. And so we play a vital role in aircraft incidences because it's our business. And for the fire department, I'm actively engaged with them where I have a program that I'm tied in with the fire department. So if an aircraft incident is dispatched, it dispatches me through my phone and I get the coordinates, and I'm able to, get to the scene in a timely manner. If the incident happens where we can see it, we have crash rescue gear within the vehicles where we can extricate people. And if there's something serious, which Director Seifert and I were witness to an aircraft incident about 2 years ago, we were one of the first on scene and we do what we need to do. It's part of the process, and our first goal is safety for us ourselves, but it's also safety for those individuals. So what we have this in every single vehicle, and it's kind of a quick sheet for any of the employees to facilitate an incident. And so we built these, and so we have response and recovery, and it kind of breaks down every process for it. So because the guys or the girls, they don't do this often, it gives them a pathway to get to the end goal, which is essentially removing the aircraft. And then we also have emergency contacts, staff, board members, fire phone numbers, and other, if we have a fuel or hazmat spill. So this is our quick action response sheet where they can pull this out and go through it line by line and get the job done. It's very difficult. every accident's usually different. So going out there and training, I've been using incidents as a training platform for the employees, but it comes with time. So, and then here we also have incident response sheets where they fill information out, who we talked to, who was notified, FAA representative, NTSB representatives, and that, you know, and a brief synopsis of what occurred. So, so that's for incident responses for aircraft. And then, as you know, with the snow that we just had, it was basically what we dealt with in 2010, where the community was pretty much shut down. I had worked with Cal OES and Cal DART, and I don't know if anybody, if you're not familiar with Cal DART, it's basically a nonprofit airlift command. These guys fly their aircraft and helicopters, which they're doing as of today. They're taking in goods into Crestline and Lake Arrowhead to a heliport up there where they're delivering goods. We had a helicopter here that was bringing supplies in for the inmate crews. They brought in some prison crews to clear roofs and whatnot. So our airport was set up where we could receive that type of assistance. But I was in direct contact with the City of Big Bear Lakes manager, public works director, because we were working on getting fuel here, which we were struggling with. And we were able to get an idea when that convoy was going. We were able to get a hold of our fuel provider, have them sitting at the bottom of the hill, and then they brought on all the food and all of the fuel and got us refueled so we can continue to move snow. So I'll entertain any questions if you have any.
We have round tables, but do you have tabletops where you practice, go through, what during these incidents?
For the employees themselves or?
Employees and part of the mutual aid group.
I do training. We haven't done a tabletop in quite some time because the fire department, they've been busy as well with new staff and whatnot. So it's been a few years since I've done a round table with them. But what I have done is I do a training program that I do with a PowerPoint presentation. With my experience as a mechanic, I'm able to teach these guys the inner workings of aircraft, because those fire department guys are used to dealing with cars, where to cut and how to get somebody out. You just can't go and cut on an airplane because there's fuel lines. There's rockets that are in airplanes for parachutes. So I put a PowerPoint presentation together to where I can go and teach new employees as well as older employees that, because they don't get to deal with it that often, of the proper procedures of where you can cut on airplanes, where you need to watch out for. As you know, airplanes have a lot of new composites in there, carbon fiber. And when that burns, you have that fragment and that material that can blow around. So protecting the employees with masks or SCBAs or whatever it is, that's what we do. But I think it's something that we can probably try to put together.
Okay. I know I spoke to the captain of Sugarloaf Fire Department and asked him if he was familiar with how to fight fires dealing with airplanes. And he had no clue. So I think it probably would be good to visit him, seeing as how Sugarloaf is right under, you know,
yeah,
the traffic pattern.
And that's the thing, is they've had a lot of turnover in the last couple of years. So one of the things that we have done, and this was quite a long time ago, is we started, we went in halves with the fire department, where we put Class B foam on the aircraft or on the fire trucks. So a Class B foam is good for fuel fires, where we can suppress it's not the fuel that's burning, it's the vapors. And so when you can put that that foam on there, it suppresses the vapors and it doesn't allow ignition. And so one of the things that we took out of that last accident that we were on, I equipped all the vehicles with Purple K. And Purple K is a very good fuel busting, vapor fuel extinguisher. Because when Rick and I were on scene, we put every fire extinguisher we had on it and we couldn't get it out. So this was the one that went to the north and went into the trees over there.
Oh, yeah.
Right across the street. Or yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So Rick and I were the first on scene.
Yeah, we showed up at the exact same time, and I went to the first victim, he went to the second victim, went from there. So we expected to see
the but it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, so, you know, every incident that we have, I try to use it as a training program for the staff and try to take something new out of it every single time. So if it's some kind of specialized equipment or a technique or whatever it is, it's, you know, I've been doing this 34 years and I still learn something every single time. And that's why I don't know if some of you guys know, I have an incident response trailer that we can take to incidences, and we have essentially everything to recover an aircraft. I have wing jacks. I have barrels to drain fuel. I have slings, strapping, cribbing, fuel diking material, shovels, brooms, electrical cords, generators. I have everything. So I can literally hook up to that trailer and go anywhere and recover an airplane if the FAA wants us to safely and effectively.
Couple more questions and I'm done.
Yep.
Kind of walk us through how we were involved with the fire and how you got involved with it. I can just understand how they bring the airport into the process. And I'm sure you're familiar with AC 150 on airport requirements, primarily for certified airports, but also applicable to non-certified airports as far as emergency services and that kind of thing. Do you feel comfortable with where we are as it relates to that advisory circular? And talk to us about how we got involved in the fire.
Okay, so the airport has a standing commitment to the community when it comes to fires, and it's something that we've been part of for many, many years. And it all depends on where the fire is. You know, at first when that fire was down in Oak Glen, they weren't doing anything here, but they did reach out to us and say, hey, you guys available to receive aircraft? And I said, absolutely, we are. As that fire continued to push north, their plan for the fire and where they thought they were going to have to stop it, they started to bring aircraft to us. So, of course, I got the phone call. Usually the aircraft make it here before the helibase manager or anything of that nature. So I work with the helibase manager and we get set up with locations, and I have a helibase plan that I can give them. And because, again, Forest Service changes employees quite often, I can hand them this sheet of paper and it gives them the layout of how to effectively lay out the helibase for safe and efficient movement of aircraft. And then there's different steps of helibases. And basically a type one is when we get into a tower, okay, which we've had it in the past. And so from there, helibase manager comes, and then we basically go through the whole process, what their plan is. I go to the daily briefs every morning. So every morning before the incident starts for the crew, I'm on site with and part of that. Everybody that are the players in the group are explaining what the tasks at hand of the day is. And then I also am involved and, you know, talk about specific things on the airport, you know, things that I've seen or heard or anything that's safety related. We don't historically charge the Forest Service or the contractors any type of fuel. So a lot of places, they charge like a flowage fee or they charge a daily rate. I'm trying to think of the form that I have. It's basically, it's through the federal government that you fill out that basically says that, you know, that they can operate here. It's like an implied contract essentially. So we look at the facility before the incident, we look at the facility after the incident, and if there's any repairs, then those get repaired accordingly. So they mobilize, they come in, they do what they need. And then as they need to start demobbing, they start moving stuff out, and then we kind of go back to normal. So we don't charge for any type of flowage fees. They do buy fuel from us, sometimes thousands and thousands of gallons. It's one of the ways that we can give back to our community is by allowing them to come here and not charging them. You know, it's not a profit deal for us. It's a way that we can support our community when we have an incident like that.
Okay.
Okay.
AC 150.
Yeah.
How are we standing on the advisor circuit?
I'm going to have to look at it. I haven't read it in quite some time.
Okay.
So.
Because it gives a lot of guidance on non-certified airports as far as emergency response and services. It's not mandatory for us, but it's kind of recommended for us.
Yeah. I'll take a look at it and I'll read through it.
Okay, cool. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
I would just say I've seen this before. Chuck, you haven't because you hadn't been here, but I know that we've been collaborative with all the community leaders and all these organizations. I think it's outstanding, and my only observation or question would be is when you guys get together, what's the protocol or is there a policy for disseminating this information to the public, like communication?
So if we have an incident within the airport, and actually a matter of fact, if it's outside the airport, if it's anything that has to do with aircraft, we normally will post something on Facebook. We've struggled with Facebook. I'm not a social media guy, and we have hired a new person who is extraordinary with Facebook. And one of that person's jobs is to literally post every day to get, that's the new way of communicating with people. And so with incidences, with things that are happening at the airport, closures, NOTAMs, and fun facts, that is what we're going to do. So I try personally, as I'm trying to manage an incident, also do social media to if the airport's closed or conditions or anything like that. So now we have a person who's going to be designated to do that. And so far it's been good.
Is it somebody on the airport?
It's one of our staff members.
Susie.
Yeah, Susie. And she's done a fantastic job. She's been here for a few months. And she asked me what do I see Facebook doing? You know, what would I like to see? And I'm like, put content up. You know, I don't know a lot about Facebook, and she's done a fantastic job. She updated pilots and the community, and you know, we have a lot of people that follow. And when it comes to an incident, we'll be putting stuff on there. And so, yeah, she's done a wonderful job so far.
The reason I ask it is because, in light of this snowmageddon that we're experiencing right now. And I don't want to be super critical of people when we need them to help us in this emergency, because there's all kinds of tragedies that be popping up left and right. Some get fixed and some they got to go to something else. But it just seems like it's an abysmal failure of communication to the public.
Yeah,
it's like work to try to find any accurate information. It really is. It's ridiculous. And the public deserves better than that. And I'm just thinking maybe we can kind of take a lead.
Yeah.
I mean, you get better information but it takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
To look at Facebook and see what people are saying. But I mean, our city, us, whoever should, somebody, this shouldn't be that difficult.
Yeah.
Say, here's what's happening today. Here's what's happening 2 hours from now. But it's like pulling teeth. You can't get any accurate. Everything's stale. A lot of information is conflicting, and it's like, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, this is kind of pathetic. It really is.
And when I've gone out and spoken to the public, that's what has been one of my commitments, is always having an open door and communicating with people.
Accurate.
And with Facebook, I mean, that is the new way of how people work, you know. And so that's where we need to shift our focus as well.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be my...
Well, but we're always going to have people. There's a lot of people that aren't on social media. Right? Yeah. Remember the first fire, we had seven to nine helicopters sitting out there. And it was all over Facebook. But people would keep on calling, why don't you guys have helicopters?
Yeah.
They're just drive by and take a look. They were all over the place, right? Flying in and out of here all day and all night.
Yeah.
So we always, you always get the naysayers.
Yeah, I think that's where, you know, we'll work. Yeah. Kay and I will work with Susie. You know, it might be getting a better relationship with the radio station just so that they can start putting out more information on what we have going on over here. You know, especially in these times of emergency.
Yeah. Timely and accurate.
Yeah, because I haven't heard a whole lot coming from the radio station on, hey, the airport's open. We're able to get emergency services in and out. Feel free while we have an airport. That kind of thing. So
yeah, but that's also a double-edged sword too, because I fielded quite a few emails with people that were upset that I had the airport open when the mountain was closed to visitors, you know, and I had to explain to them that we're federally obligated to remain open unless there's something, some type of incident that fire, TFR, or airplane that's on the runway. You know, I can guarantee you, you know, their concerns were, you know, if an airplane was to have an incident on the airport, you know, do I have contingency plans in place? Absolutely. You know, I got six helicopter pads. I can receive, you know, I've had an active runway and 23 helicopters on the airport. So we can manage it. And
I think that's where more value, getting that information out. Yeah, we have to stay open by law, but the reality is we have to stay open for emergency services.
Yeah.
You know, if you close the airport, now you're starting to say to emergency services, there's no place for you to come up here.
Yeah.
But we're open. We can handle all the emergencies. And if it gets to the point where we can't deal with regular traffic coming in, we just have to issue a notice to airmen. And,
but he does do that.
But we issue a notice to airmen and says, hey, unless your emergency services don't come to Big Bear.
The
airport's open, but hey, we don't want you for this reason. And
they put that out in the notice. We discourage it at this time. Please be cooperative.
Right. Then if somebody lands, we sit there and say, thank you for coming. Take off now because we can't handle you.
Spool it up.
And that's what we did with the fire, you know, because we had that TFR that was bumping real close. And
I remember there's a lot of pilots wanted, like, no, you don't get to come in.
Yeah.
They weren't real happy about it.
So.
Well, thank you very much, Ryan. I appreciate you, Ryan.
No problem.
Together for me.
Any public comments?
I had something.
Okay, Julie.
Well, actually, two things. So, Ryan, do you have delineated who is communicating on what kind of incident? So, in other words, the fire department takes the lead on this. The airport takes the lead on this. There's this agency that takes the lead on this. Is that part of discussions you've had, or is that something that would be worth having?
It's probably probably a discussion that's worth having. It all depends. Like if it's an aircraft incident, you know, and it's in the city of Big Bear Lake, of course, we're going to have everybody there. And then once we classify unified command, and unified command can be anything from local leaders to all the way to the highest people of authority. Then we start delegating, okay, well, this is an aircraft incident. So Ryan, you're going to be taking the lead on it. And what do you need from us? Or if we have, you know, some snow issues, you know, I called Eric's son, said, okay, hey, I got an airport. What do you need from me? You know, I got places to land. So I guess it really depends on the type of incident and where it's located at.
Right. And that makes perfect sense. I just wasn't sure if you'd had conversations about that. The other one is just thinking about, and incidents like this are few and far between. We've had them in the past, but we certainly don't have them with regularity. But I remember being in Indiana when there was a tornado, warning or watch, I don't remember what it was. And at that point, could call the airport, and they were trying to find places where airplanes could be parked inside so that if there was a tornado that landed in that area, the planes would be more protected. And Bob may disagree with what I'm going to say here, but if we have the kinds of winds we had, if we have the kinds of snow load that we're going to have, it might be something that we want to look at a plan for those kinds of emergencies for getting aircraft that are on the ramp inside.
Yeah. And that is something that, that's a good question, Julie. It's something that I have really, you know, considered long and hard about. You know, we do have some hangars that are sitting vacant because they're either being used as second hangars or whatever it is. But it's something I want to do. I just don't know how to get to that next point. And I think being able to find a few tenants that are willing to allow me to do that, and I think is beneficial for the airport. And honestly, I would rather stick an airplane into a hangar, especially when the types of winds we have, you know, I mean,
right.
You know, I've had airplanes flip upside down, you know, so I think it's definitely a discussion that we need to have and coming up with some ideas for that. So I think that's something I'll probably look at.
Okay. Yeah. Just a plan in place for those kinds of incidences or what we can do to protect.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what I had.
Thank you, Julie.
Thank you.
Okay. So that's it for business matters. Manager's report, there is none. Director's comments, any final comments, Julie?
I hope everybody has done well with all the snow.
Okay, Steve.
Hope everyone is doing well with snow. It's not easy. I think there's people, some of it's not that big of a deal, and some are heavily impacted by it. So that's my concern, is that we're already letting people up here. We're not going to be prepared for it. So my prayers to everybody that's helping and everybody that's being impacted. Thank you guys, staff, and again, for our crew for clearing the snow. See, we're excellent. That's in our mission statement. So it's not easy. It's a challenge. Might be a little less complex than digging out in the city, but they got it done. And I know it's probably challenging, discouraging, overwhelming, where you're like, wow, I'm going through it with my own house. You're like, where does it end? But they got it done. So you guys are awesome. Thank you. Thank you, public, for coming. Appreciate it.
Okay. I'd like to thank Ryan especially for all the information you've disseminated today, with all the things that you are involved in. With, I don't know how you remember everything. I appreciate everything that you do, Ryan. Please give yourself a pat on the back. Sometimes I know you feel badly, but you don't deserve to feel badly with regard to anything.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chuck?
Yeah, I just want to thank Susie for getting all the Facebook information out there about the airport being open. I think it's what we need to do to let the world know that we're here. To the guys being able to keep this runway open, I'm having enough problems just trying to keep a 10-foot wide swath open so I can get my truck in my driveway. So for them to keep that runway and the taxiways open, it's a very impressive and damn good job. So thank you.
I'll echo all those comments. It's been a pretty challenging storm we had, right? Back-to-back ones. Staff is amazing, doing a great job.
Staff,
public, thank you for being here and your comments. And at 4:52, we will adjourn to closed session. Thank you, everybody. Mm-hmm.